If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Mark 4, I'm not sure exactly where we're going to get to today because I've been thinking about it, and there's a key line in Mark. I better get Mark 4, don't I? The key line in Mark 4, I know several people spoke about different parts of Mark 4, but there's a line, and it says this. It says, if anyone has an ear, or anyone has ears, to hear, let him hear. So that's Mark 4, 23. If anyone has ears, to hear, let him hear. Interesting statement. Jesus actually said something similar at least four other times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Whoever has ears, let him hear. But in this one, Mark's gospel is interesting because Matthew wrote Matthew, and we know Mark wrote Mark, but Mark wasn't there. Matthew was there. But we believe, or it's commented, that Mark was actually dictated by Peter. So it's an eyewitness account of what Peter saw, telling Mark, and Mark wrote it down for him. Where Matthew wrote down what he saw, Luke got a load of information together and wrote down the Gospel of Luke. John was an eyewitness, but John concentrates on some other things. But it says this, if anyone has ears, let him hear. If anyone has ears to hear, now you've all got ears. Every one of us have got ears looking around the room. Some are different to others. Some are nice ears. Some are different ears. Some can hear better than others. Some have a greater surface area than others. And as you get older, it gets greater, I'm told. Some hear really well and some maybe not so. My kids laugh at me because they say, Dad, it don't matter what's going on, you hear everything. A pin can go off at night, and ding, what's that? And yet the dog could be barking, running around, and bombs and bullets in the street, and I sleep through it until one of my kids go, Dad. It's like, I can hear everything I need to hear. But if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says this again in the book of Revelation. He says seven churches. He says to each of the seven churches, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. There must be something that Jesus is trying to put across that people who have ears can hear. And yet so many people miss it. The Word of God's quite clear. Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. NIV version, the New King James Version, the NIV version says, hearing the words of Christ. The word there is Christoph, Christ, God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of God. I always encourage people to read the word of God and listen to the word of God. And my heart now, my start of this next, I don't know how long it's going to take me, but as a forefront, as a runner, I just want to tell you, I love the word of God and I want to encourage you to get into the word of God, to read the word of God. Everything we know about God is from the Word of God. You know that, don't you? There's been no revelation of who God is outside of the Word of God. There's been some people said they've had a fresh revelation and wrote a new book, a fresh this and wrote something else. That means nothing. The Word of God is the Word of God. And everything we know about God comes from the Word of God. The way we get to know God as we pray and through the Word of God. Everything we need to know is in the Bible. Every answer to every problem is in the Bible. This is an amazing thing. There's certain verses that seem to indicate that certain things are hidden. And we often think, oh, overridden. God's hiding things from us. God's put things in the Bible not to hide it from us, but to hide it so we can find it. I think that's exciting. And there's times where I'll read the same passage a number of times and something just jumps out. I have a bit of a revelation moment. And that's why I don't have any problem with certain verses in the Bible, because Jesus talks about the Word of God being like a seed. And we need to take the seed of the Word of God and plant it in our hearts. Then we need to give it time to grow. And what we'll get to, we'll look at that. But we need to understand that Jesus proclaimed a number of times, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And yet so much of the body of Christ is not listening. We're not reading the word. Now, we can have a shabba-dabba-doo moment and we can say, thus says the Lord, or God says, and we love that sort of thing. But we've got to be careful even there. Because it doesn't matter if I hover 3 foot off the floor, call down fire and say, thus says the Lord. If it's contrary to the word of God, it's rubbish. The Bible is the ultimate authority on what we believe. Now, some people say to me, Johnny, you don't understand, the Bible can be interpreted in lots of different ways. I'll be honest with you, the more I read it, the more you can't interpret it different ways. It says what it says. And the Bible backs itself up. It stands alone. Not only is it the best-selling book year on year, nationally and internationally, if you added all the other top 10 bestsellers, which includes the Guinness Book of Records and the Quran, it blows all 10 of them away. But don't even put it in the list anymore because it's so far ahead all the time. And that's the word of God. That's what we have. But faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. Timothy says this, or Paul says this to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in all righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. But 17 says this. It says, so that the servant of God, which is you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you ever wondered why you seem to struggle in what you believe God's got for you? It's because we need to be equipped. A school leaver leaving at 16 cannot run a multi-billion pound company because they need training. Unless the dad owns it, that's a different matter. But they need training. That's why we have sixth form and then we have college, or college as well, and then university, so people are trained and equipped. The Bible says, show yourself approved through your study. Not studying in the world, studying in the word of God. Joshua got told to meditate on the Bible, on the law, day and night. I say that to us, study the Bible. When it says study the Bible day and night, it doesn't mean we've got to be literally have our nose in it, even though it's a good thing. We need to think about it. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, especially on a Sunday morning, with my sermon in my head. I go to sleep thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. I think of verses in the Bible, and I just think of one verse, and I go to sleep thinking about it, and I wake up thinking about it. I'd say if you want a peaceful night's sleep, read something, think about it, and then fall asleep. If you've got a lot of other rubbish going in your head, take every thought captive, that's what the Bible says, and then read something, and then think about it. Traditionally, Jews, it says that you should always have the word of God before your eyes. So they used to write it down, stick it on the forehead in a little box. We'd have to do that. We need to just to think about it. Meditate on it. Ponder it through. Listen to what it says. Peter says this, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came from the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Not only is the word of God inspired and breathed out by God, but the men who wrote it down actually were carried on by the Holy Spirit. I actually believe, this is me, I believe that every word was spoke by God for men to write down. So when there's a difference in Gospels or a difference between something in the Old Testament and something in the New, to me, I think, wow, why? What's God want to show me from this? Why does it say in the Old Testament, by his stripes you are healed? And in the New Testament it says, by his stripes you were healed. Peter quoting the Old Testament. Because the cross is in the middle. Before the cross, he was saying, by his stripes you are healed, and you could go to a prophet and get prayed for. But in the New Testament, after the cross, after the death, the burial and the resurrection and the ascension to heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, now he says, now you were healed because it were all paid for on the cross. Amen. See, I believe that if you go to the doctors and the doctor says to you, right, you need to take these tablets twice a day for the next 2 weeks, but you don't take the tablets and go back to the doctor after 2 weeks, he will ask you, did you take the tablets? Now, most people take the tablets. But when I say to you, the word of God is better than any tablets, take it once a day and see what happens. See what happens. But it's hard work. It's not hard work. What is it? It takes time, energy. Because it's a seed that you're putting in your heart. And we believe, for some silly reason, that when we read something, we go, okay, I believe that, put it in my heart, right, where's the fruit? But it takes time. It takes a little bit of time for things to come up, for things to grow in our lives. And the longer I've been saved, the more I realize that some things take a lot longer than others. But the potential, when you have an apple and you scoff it down, you usually get 5, 6 maybe seeds there. Each of them seeds has a potential for thousands of apples. And yet that seed will never grow an apple. The seed never grows an apple. It grows the tree that then produces the fruit. And that seed, that one seed, can grow into thousands of apples or help the tree to produce them eventually. But it takes time. We've got an apple tree we've planted many, many years ago. I don't know if it'll ever grow apples because it's a golden, delicious tree and they don't grow in our country normally. But the tree's growing and we'll see how it gets on. It's been kicked, broken, stabbed. Things have been broken, but it survives. It's still there. And that's what we did. Oprah's really tiny. She's proud of it. Ethan at other hand goes, Dad, there's a pear tree there. Can we get it from B&Q? So we bought a pear tree, which is the same size as the apple. We planted it, and the pear tree's already growing fruit. Ethan's took a bit of a shortcut. Hope's grown it from seed. But there's more pride in Hope in that tree, even though it might never grow anything. But that's what she planted. Guys, I want to encourage you to plant the Word of God in your hearts. And you're like, your hearts are neutral. The seed will go in there. Whatever seeds we plant in our lives. And when I say seeds, whatever we take in, whatever you take in, if you're constantly taking in horror movies, I'll put that one out because I don't know so many, but if you're constantly taking in horror movies and you're having bad dreams, they could be a connection. If you're constantly taking in things that cause you to lust, and then you come out and say, I've got a problem with lust, maybe it's not, maybe you need to look at what you're taking in. I'm trying to be broad. Whatever you're taking it, but if you take the Word of God in, then allow it to germinate and to grow and to develop into what it is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of God. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews, you know, they came out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness and they seemed to hit a lot of problems. But in Hebrews 4, verse 2, it actually says this, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Both people who were in the desert at the time. But it says this, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. So not only do we need to take the word of God, but we need to activate faith and allow faith to plant it in our hearts. And that's why I keep saying, then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. It's almost like a circle, is this, isn't it? You need the faith to plant the seed, but faith comes by hearing, which is the seed. So I just say, keep reading, keep hearing. The reason I don't have a problem with sickness is because I really, really believe what it says in the Bible. I do. But that's a revelation for me. I am that nutter that talks to my own body. I tell it what to do and it rebels every night. If you want your body to be submitted, I did a fast recently. It's been a while since I did a lengthy fast. And they usually say after 3 days, it calms down. Well, by 3 days, my body wanted to hang itself. I mean, it was screaming. I mean, I'm cooking tea for kids. Well, my body's screaming. But 4 days, it was still, by 5 days, it calmed down. But after 6 days, it says to me, you know what? I'll keep quiet as long as you feed me. It tried a different tact. And it went on from there. But I had to bring my body under submission because my body is subject to me, not the other way around. But it's only when I read the Word of God that I find out what it says. Guys, I know that you read the Bible. I know. So I'm just trying to encourage you to continue to get into it. I've found that just reading through the Bible, years ago, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love standing on the end of the cliffs. But I recently found out that adrenaline actually kills other chemicals in your brain. So you get addicted to adrenaline or you get depressed. So that's just what I found out from a guy who's suffering from depression, who's a bit of an adrenaline junkie. So I said to him, have you tried reading the Word of God? He looked at me and says, what? I said, have you tried reading the Word of God? I said, because when I am reading, I can tell physically and mentally if I've been reading the Word of God. It sounds really funny. When I say the Bible's like tablets, I don't mean it's literally like a tablet, but it actually has an effect on your body. We said last week that God, it says about Jesus, he sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107, halfway down. He sent his word, and we know that Jesus is the word of God. And we also know in John 1:12, I think it is, that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, that Jesus came. And the word of God is everything that Jesus spoke. You know, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he didn't pray. He didn't look on online to find out what the best treatment was for these situations. I mean, first of all, he were hungry. He says, turn this stone into bread. The devil said, I took him to an high place and said, throw yourself down. That sounds like that could almost be suicidal thoughts. One of those things there. He says, you know, you can have some glory if you want it. Just bow down to me. But everything Jesus did, he said, it is written. It is written. So if Jesus needed to use the word of God to tackle the devil, then we need to know the word of God so we can tackle the devil. I think sometimes, and everything that's out there is, and I've got to be careful on this one, because I was going to say that a lot of things that we put up with is an attack from the devil, but not everything we put up with is an attack from the devil. Some stuff is direct or indirect because of sin or the devil. Are we all right on that one? So sickness, I believe, is an attack directly or indirectly from the devil. So sometimes it's given by the devil or something just because of sin. So I believe the word of God stands against that. So I stand on that and I go for it on that because I see it's an attack. And when Jesus was attacked by the devil, he said, it is written. How do we know if we're attacked or not? Well, the Bible will tell us. And then it tells what to say to get out of it. You're not looking confident with me. It's like, really? Really? You know what? If I put on Rocky music, let's say I have a tiger, I could get everybody doing a bit of boxing, a bit of training. If I put on a Y5O, we'd all be rowing. It's like music gets into us and gets going. So why do you think a century plus ago or two centuries ago, Charles Wesley wrote so many great hymns? Because he took the word of God and gave it to people who were illiterate, who couldn't read the word of God, put it in a song and they sang the word of God. And it strengthened them. But today we've kind of missed a lot of that stuff because a lot of the songs, I'm not criticizing anything on these, but some of the songs have changed a lot. There's not that much word of God in some of the songs we sing. The great songs are all right. But at the end of the day, Charles and other people put in the word of God. We don't have that. So I'm telling you to read the word of God because you're no longer illiterate. You can read the word of God better than I can. I never got my GCSE in English. I even took, get this, I took the RSA English exam, which is about age 11. Standard English, and I didn't even get that. Oh. And I stand up in front of you guys, and I read. Yeah, I took that test, the dyslexia. Yeah, and they were amazed. Like, whoa. You know, Ethan's took the test. He's like me. That's why I can understand him better. I write things out for him. I understand things. But God took my seeming weakness and he uses it on a Sunday to show you guys that if God can do it in me, then what's your excuse? You know what I mean? If you're struggling with anything, it's like, okay, I'm struggling with it. And then God sorts you out. So what's everybody else's excuse? Because God loves us so much. So hey, that's with Hebrews. We've been on that one. I've just got a few things. You see, it said that it didn't profit them because they weren't added with faith. Now, I don't like the idea of people peddling the word of God for profit, yet some do, but as long as the gospel's been preached. But I must admit, it was funny. We were in States a few, month and a half ago now, and Steve was with us, and he likes his Starbucks, and he gets withdrawal symptoms. He's got an addiction issue to Starbucks. Weather wasn't so good, so I said, come on, let's go to Starbucks. So me and Steve went off to Starbucks, and we're in there, and I do what I normally do in Starbucks because I'm bored. I got my Bible and just started reading it. So Steve's at the counter. He asked me what I wanted. I said, get me a hot chocolate, extra hot. We're in Florida. I don't like their tea. I don't like coffee. And I don't like these ice drinks. So I just get me a hot chocolate, extra hot. So I start reading my Bible. And the guy walks up to me and goes, are you reading the Bible, brother? So I'm like, well, yeah. So I got talking to this guy who happened to be a pastor from New York. And I'm chatting away, and we're having a bit of fellowship. Steve's looking over very suspiciously, because I'll talk to anybody, especially in a different country. I don't mind witnessing to people abroad, because they're never going to see me again. Ooh, he can really take some steps of faith there. So I'm sat talking to him. His wife came over. His kids come over. Steve's still looking as he's getting his cups. He's getting whatever he's got, plus me hot chocolate. And he snuck into the conversation with me hot chocolate. We're having the right time. And so I got his card and give him my email and stuff like that, and we're connecting there. And he said, right, I'll see you later. I said, be blessed. He told me that he should have been in Mexico, but it got delayed and something had happened, and he ended up in Florida. And I said, well, we should be sunbathing on some beach, but weather's not good, so we're here in a Target, in a Starbucks, in the middle of nowhere, off the tourist track. You see, just a side point, I know that Danny and Danae really love me and Joe, because they're the only ones who came to see us when we were in Florida. They made the effort to come and see Joe and I when we were in Florida, all that way just to see us. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? But we came back. This guy then comes back 2 minutes later. He said, I just want to give you the gift. So I goes, okay. Thank you, give me a bag. And like, he said, see ya, and run off. So I'm sat there with his bag, thinking, well, I don't know what it is. And then he came running back in and said, my wife said, give that to your wife. So I had two gifts now. I went, thank you. And she went off, never seen him again, just emailed. We're looking in the back, so you know what it's like. Steve's more curious, because I'm reading my Bible. So I'm carrying on reading. And Steve's going, they're from Coach, New York. I went, yeah, okay, whatever. He says, they're from Coach, New York. I'm like, you're looking like I do. Yeah. Really? So I have a look in, and there's a wallet in there, which is good, because my wallet, besides being empty, is old. And but a purse, a little purse for Joe. That's really nice, isn't it? But then they left the receipts in. Mine were $175. But a wallet. I wouldn't even... If he's watching, thank you. But 20 quid, I'd be pushing it. So, I don't read the Bible for profit, but if you read the Bible, it will profit you. And I don't mean you'll get a wallet or something like that. But I'll tell you this, if you get your nose into the Word of God, it will change your life, directly or indirectly. I know that people who've read the Bible. One guy said to me, I'm going to read that Bible. He said, you keep going, I'm going to read it. And it won't change me. But after a year of reading the Bible, it had changed him. And he wasn't impressed initially, because he said, I don't want to change, but it changed him. Why is it that every time you want to do the washing, nothing happens? You just do the washing. Why is it when you want to go out for a burger or something, nothing generally happens? You just go. But why is it when you go, I'm going to read the Bible, everybody who's not spoke to you for the last 6 months rings you? Facebook goes mental. Emails come in. Why? Could it be that there's somebody out there who's trying to stop you taking your medicine because it will change your life? And this is the introduction to the introduction of Mark 4. You know, we're getting somewhere. The Bible says that, you know, if Jesus needed to use the word of God against the devil, then we need to. But a day is coming, this is amazing. I don't think we appreciate how powerful the word of God is. I don't really think even I understand the powerfulness of the spoken word of God. But a time's coming. Quick story. One day, Jesus is going to take us all down. Up we've gone. We'll spend 7 years in heaven and a great party. We'll be given rewards to those who get rewards and those who haven't. It says they'll get him by the skin of their teeth. But we're there. And then it says Jesus comes back with his holy ones with us. Woo, we're on his way back then. But before we come back, Jesus is on his way. And in Revelation 20, it talks about how he will stand before, the enemies will stand before him, and he will speak the word. It's like a double-edged sword, a sharp sword will be in his mouth, and he will speak to his enemies, and the enemies will fall before him. In another part of the Bible, it talks about where there'll be a pool of blood, hundreds of miles long by about 3 feet high, of the enemies of God. When he speaks the word, people will fall down dead before him, the enemies of God. The church is not there. The righteous have been taken. Then he'll speak the word and it will kill people. I thought God loved us. He does. But this is Revelation when everything just suddenly comes to an end. And he's going to wipe up. And I don't know what exactly he says, but I do think this. He may say, and there is a quote in Revelation on this one, where he'll stand up and say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when he speaks words from the word of God, his enemies will not just fall, they'll die before him. Demons flee at the word of God. I believe sickness goes at the word of God. Depression goes at the word of God. Anxiety goes at the word of God. Addiction goes at the word of God because it's the word of God. Now, growing up, my dad would often say to me, I'll treat you later. And I knew if I didn't get it there and then, I wasn't going to get it. Because my dad's word at that time is his intentions were good, but his word was of no value because it often wouldn't come to pass. But one thing I do know is my Heavenly Father, when he speaks, it always comes to pass. I said last week that every scar on our hearts, you can look at as a negative, but I look at it as every scar is proof of God's faithfulness to me. Every wound that's on my heart is there as a faithfulness, as a testament for faithfulness to God, to me. And you can look at your scars as being how God let you down or how God wasn't there, or you can look at it as how God has been faithful through the healing process of that scar on your heart. But the word of God, we need to take on the word of God. If Jesus needed to use the word of God, then so do we. In Ephesians 6, 10, you know a little bit, it's about the armour of God, but it starts off with this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Yeah. Well, what's his mighty power? It's the word of God. Yeah. Now, I do believe in laying hands on the sick and seeing things happen. I do believe in speaking in tongues and prophesying, and I do believe in all that sort of stuff. But I will say this, the word of God is the power of God. The Holy Spirit, faith-filled words spoken can change somebody's life. So we need to finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in mine. Don't say, I'm reading the Bible because Johnny's told us. I'm going to be strong in like Johnny. Well, I'm not that strong. But it's in his mighty power. Verse 11 says this, but then put on the full armour of God. That's our job. So we're strong in his power. We put on the full armour of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. Well, what's the devil's schemes? Anything that stands against God is the devil's schemes. Some people think Brexit's, but that's a different story. If you jump down to verse 16, it says, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What is faith? Faith is trusting and believing. How do you get your faith energized and equipped and working? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if your shield is not, you're not feeling it's big enough, strong enough, or whatever, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. And then it says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you need the word of God to equip your shield and strengthen your shield, and you need the word of God as your sword so you can go on the attack. But the problem is we often attack each other with the word of God. But the Bible says we should encourage and acknowledge and build up and strengthen each other. And it's great. I got a WhatsApp. Now, I get WhatsApps every now and then. But not everybody knows what's going through anybody's life at any moment. And I got a WhatsApp this week from a guy in Africa. Somebody I've met a few times. It's not David, it was John Bundy. Some of you might have met him as well. And he sent me a WhatsApp message. I didn't even know he had my number. But at that moment when I clicked it, I needed that message. And he said, thinking and praying for you, sent me some scriptures. They are. Let it be encouraging to you. I'm thinking, this is encouraging. The wallet was good. It will hold my blessings in my back pocket. But the word of God is a greater blessing because it holds treasure in my heart and keeps me strong. So the armor of God, we need the word of God to be our sword, and we need the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. And I'm going to just finish with this little bit that I've put down. And I've got to realize why I put it down. Okay, Mark 4, and I read out verse 23. Verse 24 says this, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear." So Jesus says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. The next bit he says to them, take heed in what you hear. We need to guard our ears, guard our eyes. David says, put a guard on my mouth. Stop the rubbish coming out. But I'd say this, if you can stop it going in, it won't come out. It's not the guard ear we need. We need a guard of our heart, so what comes out of a man's heart as his mouth speaks, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, only good things will come out. Sometimes, I mean, I must admit, sometimes when we say something that's not so good, it does feel good. But then we regret it. You know when you say what you're really thinking? I mean, you wish you'd never said it because you didn't say it in love, and you've got to pick up that mess. It's like treading in dog poo. It stinks, gets all over the place, and it takes a bit of cleaning up. Somebody's thinking about that now, aren't you? You know what I mean? Take a walk in the park. You know what I mean? It says this, take heed to what you listen. Guys, I can't stop any of you guys watching, listening, reading, anything. I can't tell you what, like the doctor, he can only prescribe tablets to you and hope that you take them. Some people have more faith in the doctor than anybody else, but he only hopes you do what he says. My hope is that you do what pastor says. Not for me, but for you. Read the word of God. Be careful what you eat. I mean, it says this, in this, and I'm going to end here, and I'm going to pick it up later on about this. Take heed to what you eat. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Confused me, did that initially. But I realized the more I read, the more it will be measured to me. The more I dig in, the more I'll see. The more I read, the more I'll know. And we read in 2 Peter a while ago when I preached on that knowledge is a key. That it opens up and we can partake in all these blessings through our knowledge of Christ. If we don't have the knowledge of Christ, we can't partake in them. You might need to read 2 Peter again, chapter 1. But in the same measure it is used, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. This almost sounds like it's the more you get into it, the more you'll get. This is an addiction to get. Forget all other addictions. This is one big addiction. The more you get, the more you want. The more you want, the more you can get. But then verse 25 says this. This is interesting. It says, for whoever has, to him, more will be given. I mean, it goes on. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. I really believe this is talking about the revelation of the word of God. But as you read the Word of God, it opens up your eyes to things that God thinks about you, that He's saying to you. But when we don't read it, when we allow it to dull, to those who have, more will be given. So as you read, more will be given to you. But the revelation you do have when you stop reading the Bible, it seems to fade. I was talking to somebody recently who was a backslidden, even though that terminology is not quite correct. He's no longer in the church. He's turned his back on God. And we were talking, and I said to him, but you know this. And he said to me, Johnny, I don't. I said, but you preached on this. That verse we're talking about, I said, that was a revelation. That verse changed your life. And he looked me blank and says, I can't remember that. Yet it was a verse in the Bible that he hinged his life up, that radically changed his life in a complete new direction. But since he's turned his back on God, this is some years ago now, talking to him recently, he has no recollection of what that verse said or even did to him. Because what the little he did have has been taken from him. Because he's no longer topping it up. He's no longer taking the tablets. He's no longer in the Word of God. And some people say if you can't afford 10 minutes of the Bible each day, then don't even call yourself a Christian. That's a bit harsh. Some people say even longer. But I would say this. I see potential in all you guys. Some of you have got amazing potential. Some have got great potential. You've all got potential. But I know this, that I will never achieve what God's got for me without being in the Word of God. Some of you wanted to be astronauts, train engine driver. Nobody at school at the age of 10 says, you know what, I just want to become a prostitute when I leave school. Nobody says, you know what, I just want to go and rob a bank, kill somebody. Nobody ever said at the age of 10, you know what, I just want to become a mum and have 6 kids and live on benefits for the rest of my life. You know, you don't get young lads saying, you know what, I just want to, when I get older, I just want to spend time on my PlayStation and bum it off for the rest of my life. They've got a vision, a dream, heart. The problem is that to get to what they want takes time, energy, sometimes money, training. But all the things of God in your life, you don't need to go to Bible college, even though I would highly recommend it. I know we've got several people starting off in September doing stuff at Bible college over in Dewsbury to equip themselves for great things in God. But you can always get in the Word of God. By now the Bible says that some of us should have been teachers, but Paul said, I've got to give you milk. Some of you guys should be awesome teachers by now, but the devil's just bashed you, whacked you, and we can become quite self-centered instead of going, every blow I take, I'm taking it so somebody else doesn't have to take it. Every time I get beaten, it's so that somebody else doesn't have to get beaten. Become a pastor, they said. It'd be fun, they said. They didn't tell you get a target on your back and your front. But my job is to stand there and fight for you, even if you don't. My job is to stand there and stand and stand. The sad thing is pastors are the first ones taken out. They're the ones who go first. They're the ones who get shot in other countries. They're the ones who the devil goes after. Because all they're doing is, in Bible it says, attack the shepherd and the sheep scatter. And we always look at Jesus and it's spiritual. But attack the shepherd of the church and the sheep scatter. I want you guys, whatever ever happens to me, whatever, I want to know that you will still be standing and that you will be stronger and that you will be... I said to Ethan recently, I said, I'm doing everything I can so you can go further than I ever did, so that your children can go further than you ever did. And that's how I see it. My job is to get you guys... And so, sorry, guys, if I kick you up the backside... Because it might happen. Yeah. Come on. You know, I could earn a lot more money doing other things. But doing what God's called me to do, does me the best. But I know in you guys there's great potential. But you also know there's a great price to pay. So get into the Word of God. Sorry, I'm waffling on. And I will take on from this next little bit probably next time. But just keep going. Challenge yourself to read the Bible in 1 year, in 2 years maybe. You can do it in 70 hours. 70 hours. If you're really quick, you can do it in a week. Might not get much out of it. But like I said, I study just one or two verses at a time and just go there. So be blessed, guys. Why? Because the Bible says you're blessed. Yes. You are awesome. Why? Because the Bible says you're awesome. You are blameless because the Bible says you're blameless. And at the end of it all, Jesus proves his love for every one of us, which is more important than anything anybody else can say or do. Amen. Yes.